Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying experience with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Happy Monday to you. We appreciate you being with us. Coming up this hour here on the DA Show, we have your best audio of the day. And that includes Bobby V weighing in on what a new-look Major League Baseball with the three-batter rule could have as its future, maybe inadvertently creating more intentional walks. We'll do that coming up here in about 20 minutes from now. Also, later on this hour, can the bubble in Orlando save the Philadelphia 76ers as the NBA will return about a month from now with regular season games? We have that regular season schedule, which is cool. But we're going to start this hour talking about Tom Brady versus the union, which is a really interesting thing because you would always imagine that Tom Brady's on the right side of the union. He is one of the most popular players in football. He's one of the greatest players ever to play the game. He's obviously a massive celebrity. And so as the union goes, you would imagine Brady goes and vice versa. And yet D'Morris Smith spoke out and criticized to USA Today over the weekend Tom Brady's workouts with his teammates in Florida and said that it is not in the best interest of trying to make sure all of the players stay healthy and that there is not a delay or cancellation of the season. Now, for D'Morris Smith, the leader of the NFL union, the Players Association, to directly criticize what Tom Brady is doing takes a lot. And for Brady, he has this legacy and this reputation of every little advantage he's going to try to find. He's going to work, outwork you, work harder than you, commit more than you. And that's what has made Brady great. That Brady's legacy is outwork you, outthink you, find every possible advantage, and never be satisfied. So Brady, working out with his guys in Florida and getting some teammates together and going through these workouts, is kind of perfect to support this legacy, to support this reputation, that even in the middle of pandemic, even though facilities are closed, even though Brady's won six Super Bowls, he's not resting on his laurels, that Tom Brady's still at work. He's still going to find a way to work out. You know, you could just imagine a Last Dance type of film 20 years from now, going back to this summer and showing shaky cell phone camera footage of Tom Brady in a park in Pinellas County Park working out with Gronk. This is how motivated Brady was. And look, there is a value there. I'm not in any way demeaning or diminishing that type of commitment and work ethic. You know, frankly, I appreciate that. Frankly, I'd love to surround myself with people like that, which is the great irony of Mraz having the job that he has. You know, people looking for every advantage and trying to be better every single day and never resting on their laurels and consistently looking for the next way to be better. I love that. So I respect Brady's commitment here to the cause and to never taking anything for granted. But when Demoris Smith speaks out against Brady's workout, there is a reason for it. And I'll tell you the reason right now. Is that currently the Players Association, the union, is negotiating with the owners and the league what type of safety protocols should be in place, whether players can be trusted on their own, how much testing, what happens if you fail a test, how many players need to be active every single Sunday, all of the things that go into liabilities when it comes to coming back and playing. There's all of this legalese that is getting right now discussed and negotiated between the union and the owners for a return of football. And what Tom Brady is doing is he's risking those negotiations every single day he works out, because there's a delicate balance, I'm sure, between what the owners want and what they perceive as reality. The owners want a 16-game schedule. They want a full season. They want a full postseason. They want full rosters. They want fans in attendance. But they realize that's not realistic. I'm sure they realize they've got to couch on some of those hopes and dreams of the season. And so this is where the union comes in. Okay, well, how many workouts can you have? How many positive tests can you have? How many times do you get tested? What do workouts look like? How many people can be at a facility? How many players do you need active on a roster to make sure week one is played or week two is played or that a team doesn't forfeit? And what happens if a player does test positive? Where are they quarantined? How do you quarantine them? How do you separate them from the rest of the roster? What happens if there's an outbreak? What happens if there's five that test positive, or 10 or 15 or 20? And there's all these little things that are being negotiated right now. And Brady getting together in a state that has had a massive spike recently, outside of a team facility, just getting guys together and playing, if there is outbreaks within his little crew, or if there are positive tests ultimately from his little crew, are disrupting or could disrupt even the start of the season. Because, I mean, look, we're now a month away from when games should be played. I mean, we should have had the Hall of Fame game a month from now. That has gotten scrapped. But as we've seen, there's been a rolling thunder of sorts when it comes to testing positive. I mean, we're seeing a spike now in late June, which you could probably attribute to Memorial Day weekend in late May, when everybody kind of went crazy and said, you know what, the hell with pandemic, the hell with being quarantined, let's go out and party. And now we're seeing in a lot of those states where people did go out to party, this amazing spike. And so I'm sure there's a problem, or there is a fear right now from Demoris Smith or the owners or whatever, that Brady gets together today in Tampa and that this shows up with a bunch of his teammates a month from now where they're trying to play football. And I'm sure that is part of why Demoris is like, hey, Tom, chill. And it's interesting, because rarely do you ever have the idea in your head that Tom Brady could be at odds with the union. But I think for Brady, from Brady's standpoint, he is so aggressively committed to being successful, which you have to appreciate. I mean, he is not just taking the money in Tampa and going, I don't care if I go 6-10. This, he is desperate, maniacal in trying to succeed here. But in doing so, he's really rattling the cages of his union. He's really rattling the cage of his player president, of his executive. Because every day, Demoris, this is, I'm sure, a tight walk a tightrope walk for the union and what they can get, what they can get out of the owners. And if suddenly tomorrow five Buccaneers test positive, that's bad for the union. That's bad for their negotiations. That's bad for what they can get back from the owners. What I'm sure they're trying to show is, hey, we were responsible during the offseason. We've had a couple of guys test positive. It hasn't been crazy. And I'm sure the owners are going, well, how do we trust you guys? Brady's working out in the middle of a park with a bunch of his teammates, and we're telling you, don't do that. So I wonder if Brady will scale it back. If I'm Tom Brady, what I tell DeMoris is, I'm going to keep working out, but I just won't post it on social media. You don't have to dress it up. You don't have to push it out there. Not everything has to be public, which goes back to our last segment, where my trash 3 years ago was, you don't have to post a picture of your dog or your baby or your cat every single day. It doesn't have to be always out there. And of course, this is totally at odds with Mraz because his life is posting everything about his life constantly on social media, which is pretty ironic because he hates Schwartz for doing that, but he does, in many ways, the same exact thing.
Oh, that is a dig. That is a low blow that I feel like I need a legal team to gather a response for. There's a big difference between what I do and what Schwartz does. Number one, I'm not looking for anything for free. Number two, I try to, unless it's an Instagram story, keep it to a post a day. And I really am not posting every day if you look at my Instagram. He is four posts per day. Each kid, I got to know what team they're on, what league needs to restart, who's the snack mom for the day. I mean, it's a timeline of every minute. That is so apples and oranges. I cannot believe you went there to start a week on a Monday. I won't stand for that. You can call me a lot of things. You can call me fat. You can call me lazy. You can call me unethical. You can say I have no couth. You can say whatever you want about my job. I can't book a guest. I suck as a producer. But don't you dare ever say that I'm Peter Schwartz on social media. Ever. Ever.
Okay, to be fair, you do post a fraction of what Schwartz posts. Okay, right. So you're not that bad. And you never try to get anything for free on social media as well. So that is true.
Yes. Okay, you know, you never want to see Taylor and Eli in a picture again? I'll give you 2 weeks. The kid's growing up here. What do you want from me? You get suckered in. You realize with Rosie the Cat how much you're going to love a cat. If you have a kid, you wait. We're going to see the big DA kid, you know, popping around all over. He's walking around. He's hiking. These guys wearing it like a backpack. I mean, we'll see. It'll be all over social media.
No, I don't think I'm going to do that because yes, I really believe that everybody's posts about, and look, Taylor is adorable, and I love seeing Taylor when she hops up on the screen, and she's absolutely just a beautiful, 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 beautiful baby. So I love seeing her. So this is really not directed towards Taylor per se, but I'm just saying, don't you think that in general people post
Yeah.
so many pictures of their dogs and their cats and their babies? I mean, don't you?
I agree.
Don't you come across people in your timeline like you're like, I can't believe I have another picture of your baby in my timeline.
I actually completely agree with you. I know I sound hypocritical, but I do think there's a certain science to it, and maybe I'm just saying that I do it right and other people don't. There are people I know that I maybe went to high school with or whatever where they'll do four separate Instagram posts a day where they give you that option just to kind of do one post. We could slide through. There's a couple pictures. This is what we did today. Like, those are the people that really are rotten and don't understand that we don't need this constant feed in the timeline. And even the same thing with Facebook. And again, you don't need every day. And that's the thing that Schwartz does. Oh, look, Jared went number two in the park today. Then we played lacrosse on the beach today. Then we did this today. It's this whole thing where, and then it's every day. Like, now the deck hockey league starts up, and then we're at Arby's. And then it's when you don't need the minute by minute life thing where it's, you know, once every couple of days, oh, this is cool. We took the baby to the beach today. Like, that's cool. I mean, I'm sorry. Right. I really do think there's a difference. There can't be an extreme of every day and nothing.
No, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. I've actually enjoyed seeing Taylor at the beach and Taylor watching the boats, and you're absolutely right about that.
Boy, you just rattled off. That means you maybe have posted too much because you've now mentioned four things you've seen her do, and I think those are all in the last 2 weeks. So maybe I am guilty.
No, I do think that here's what I see, and I don't even know if it's the truth. It's just what I see, is that I think people are so consumed by their baby that they think everybody else is as consumed. And
you're probably right.
It's just not the case. You know, it's like I said with the Rosie the Cat. I mean, Rosie the Cat is part of my life because she's around me 24/7. So if we're watching TV together, if I'm feeding her, if we're playing in the living room together, if she's, you know, if she's chasing a mouse or she's chasing a bug or something, like, that's part of my life. But that's not part of everybody else's life. So if I took a picture of it every single day, it would seem to be representative of my life. But other people would be like, okay, yeah, it's a cat chasing a bug. Like, yeah, that's what they do. And then I see some of my friends that post, like, you know, a picture a day of their baby or multiple. And I'm going, I don't know if you don't get it. We don't care that much about your baby. It's like three pictures a day of your baby. Like, okay, today it's 272 days old and tomorrow's 273 days old. It's like,
right.
Yeah, okay. All right. That's what humans do. We grow up day by day. And now, you know, I'm like, wow, I guess people might not realize that. Now, your argument is these are now our new scrapbooks.
They are. They absolutely are.
That we will have these. But I mean, do you really think that, you know, in 50 years, when we're looking back at Taylor as a baby and you're, you know, in a retirement home, do you really think you're going to be logging on to your Instagram to look at Taylor's pictures?
So I thought about this in a break, and I do think, okay, let's just live in a world where Facebook and Instagram crash out. We don't have them anymore. My assumption is we would see that coming. I don't think they're going to just take down and you lose all the pictures, so we would have time. The difference now, DA, is would I rather post on Instagram or Facebook by the end of the week certain pictures I liked that I want up on the internet so I have them for conceivably forever, or do I want to stop through my camera roll and go to the local pharmacy photo, then box them like it's 1980 with the Polaroids? To me, that's more of a pain in the behind. And then if for anybody that says, well, you backload them and you put them to the cloud and to the laptop, to me, that's a lot of work. You know what's easy work? And this goes back to me being lazy. Just clicking share on Facebook or Instagram, and I know they're saved somewhere on a cloud. And if I really want them, like Danielle does it like once every 4 months, she'll go to the and she'll print a bunch and she has them in a box. But imagine trying to do that like every week when you're trying to keep up with a kid growing and all of that stuff. It's a pain in the behind. Facebook and Instagram do provide that outlet of being a very convenient cloud to share pictures to that you want conceivably forever.
Well, it is true that just hitting upload on like 12 pictures on your phone to Facebook or whatever is the easiest way ever now to document your memories. And it is why Schwartz does this. It's like when you see a Schwartz photo album that says plus 12, you're like, oh man, I got 12 of these things that just got posted. and you know that... And you know that there's like four of the same exact picture in there. They're from like 100 yards away,
right.
And you could barely see his kid. That's like a little speck in the distance, you know,
stuffing
as he's on a football field from halfway across the parking lot. You're like, why are there four of these again? Why are these? So I do think there's a documentation of it for a lot of people, but I find it hysterical, this idea that an old gray Mraz in the nursery or the retirement
nursery.
Home, the nursing home, is going to be like, let me log on to my Facebook because I want to go back and look at 2013.
You never know. The world is ever evolving, DA. You never know. But look, I guess I do agree with your premise. I would just say, much like baseball and the NBA and football, we're just looking with the posting for competitive balance, right? You don't want too much, and you don't want to be that person that does nothing at all. There just needs to be like a salary cap, competitive balance. And maybe Instagram or Facebook should alert you to that and be like, hey, you've posted too much this week or something like that. You've gone over the picture salary cap. And
right.
Maybe that is a way for us to kind of get in the habit of boiling down and going, is this one really worth it? Do I need this one? That might be actually the best app to build in there.
I like that. A photo cap, a photo salary cap, and a photo salary floor. What you're saying is people do want to see every so often things about your life. Don't go totally dark,
right?
But don't go overboard.
Right. Because we crush the Twitter eggs too, don't we? Like, you don't even put up a picture of yourself to Twitter. That is the other side of creepiness. So I do think there is a floor and a cap, and we need to treat social media a lot like we would treat sports. I think that is the best way to go about it. And Schwartz, by the way, he'd be paying a luxury tax big time.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's sponsored by GEICO. Did you know that right now Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. When we come back, three batter minimum now in Major League Baseball, and a former manager says there's an unintended consequence here. We'll hear that next as part of Soundcheck. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Your best audio of the day begins with Calais Campbell of the Ravens. He believes that Baltimore primed for a deep run.
It's a great situation to be in. You know, the team is very, very talented. I mean, you look at Baltimore's roster up and down, and it's talent everywhere. You know, and then throughout the draft, we got even stronger in some of the positions where we needed some help. This is one of those times where, you know, I've been playing football for 12 years, and I've been close a bunch, you know, played, what, three championship games, one Super Bowl. But I haven't been able to win it yet, you know, and so I feel like, you know, this team, as talented as it is, you know, this is probably going to be the best shot I have.
That's from SiriusXM NFL Radio. And Calais Campbell has always been a huge difference maker everywhere that he's gone. So for the Ravens, he's the same type of guy, a veteran leader, a vocal leader, a guy that shows you the way, that has been around the block. And I believe Calais Campbell when he says this might be my best chance to win a Super Bowl. Look, the Ravens could have been in a Super Bowl last year. Of course, the Tennessee Titans went in and punched him in the mouth, and Lamar Jackson had a really bad day in that divisional round game. But the Ravens were fantastic last year. They were the best team of the AFC by record. And this year is a crapshoot in a lot of ways. I mean, would it surprise anybody if the best teams in the NFL had clunky seasons and didn't quite look as crisp as they could have or did last year? Wouldn't surprise me. But if you're asking me the best team of the AFC, look, I think you have to put the Chiefs there because of just how brilliant Patrick Mahomes is, and of course that they're the defending Super Bowl champions. But the Ravens are right there with them. The Ravens are a fantastic team. They're well coached, top to bottom, offense, defense, quarterback, running game, linebackers. I mean, they just have everything that you need to win a lot of games. So Calais Campbell's not lying when he says we've got a great chance for a Super Bowl run. Here is Jets head coach Adam Gase on the reports that Jamal Adams wants out, and part of the reason is that he has a bad relationship with his head coach.
My relationship with Jamal has been good since the time that I've gotten here, and you know, we've had a lot of discussions throughout the season trying to figure out ways to win. And you know, for me, we've always got along well, and there's been a lot of dialogue between us, especially about, you know, on and off the field type topics. It's a tough part of the business. And, you know, our job is to work through, you know, difficult times and tough situations and find solutions.
You can't hide from Adam Gase's eyes.
Adam Gase is such a weird duck. He is such a bizarre, weird guy that didn't have good people skills, so it doesn't surprise me that there are players that don't like him. He's a hard line guy. I've talked to people that have known him, covered him, and been behind the scenes with him, and what I gather is that Adam Gase is okay one-on-one, but around a lot of people he's really awkward. But also, he doesn't have great people skills, so you really have to know him. And if you don't really know him, he's short, he can be curt, he can be impatient, and because of that temperament, it rubs a lot of people the wrong way if you don't know him. Now, I guess there's people that know him, like Peyton Manning, that swear by him, and I guess that's how he gets a second head coaching job in the NFL after doing nothing in Miami. But with Jamal Adams and Le'Veon Bell both basically admitting that they don't like the guy, I think it's hard to envision a locker room that is all pulling in the same direction, because I don't think Adam Gase manages personalities very well. And finally, here is Bobby Valentine, former Major League Baseball manager, envisioning the three batter rule implemented this year in Major League Baseball, leading to a lot more intentional walks.
To get the pitcher out of the game in the three batters and turn it over to the next pitcher for the next three batters. You know, leadoff guy gets a double and the next guy makes an out. I'll bet half of the time there's an intentional walk just to go to the bullpen. I think that that's going to be as tough a decision as any manager's ever had. And without a lot of chance and trial and error because it's a short season, I think it's going to backfire on a lot of guys and be the reason that they're not in the playoffs.
Well, we'll see. I like the three-batter rule. I've always felt like baseball is at its best when there's high-leverage situations. That's usually late in games when one batter, one pitch could define the entire game, the season, the series. And there's more high-leverage situations when you're forcing pitchers to have to pitch in tight spots. You know, with what Tony La Russa did was, in manipulating the bullpen the way that he did in the 80s and 90s, he gave the rest of baseball this blueprint on how to make every pitcher comfortable. Okay, we're only going to bring you in at the top of an inning with a clean sheet. Nobody on. That's how we're going to close. And so all saves are going to be three outs, top of the ninth or bottom of the ninth. You come in, nobody's on base, we'll set you up for that. So you have to succeed. Or you're not really great against this guy, or you're not really great against lefties. That's okay. We'll take you out. We'll bring in one guy to pitch to this one batter, and then we'll bring in the next guy to be comfortable for the next guy, the next batter. And we will manipulate and short all of these situations. And when every pitcher is comfortable, all I got to do is get three pitches here. All I got to do is strike out this guy. All I got to do is get through this one batter. All I got to do is get through this half inning. It takes away the high leverage situations with some stress. And what you're doing here with three batters is you're creating stress situations. Are you doing it artificially? Well, yeah, of course. But at least you're creating those stress situations. So I like it. I do like it. That is your sound check. Now, we have two raging controversies here within the DA show walls today. This just happened right now. As you know, we have a list. Their faces are tattooed on the wall of the DA show's rafters of our banned people from the show. That includes Joey Chestnut. That includes Richard Justice. That includes He Who Shall Not Be Named, whose jersey had been taken down from the rafters. There's a few people that just cannot make the show. And Bobby V was one of those guys, is one of these guys. Now, Pete the Body is in charge of soundcheck every day, and Pete the Body has included that clip about Bobby V. Mraz is hot. Mraz believes this has been a violation of the DA show's bylaws. Mraz, please state your case.
Yo, I'm not happy right now, so I'm going to try to be as mature as possible. I understand that times are a little difficult on the show. I understand that three of us are doing the show from home, and we have those guys like Pete and Connor working hard, getting into the New York City and doing this. So I respect those guys. And I know that we don't have the freshest of sound every day, so maybe it's a little more slim pickings than usual on soundcheck when no game's being played. But I know that a lot of time has passed. The fact remains, and I have no problem admitting this, Bobby Valentine dislikes me so much for blowing me off on guest spots and not liking that I called him out on it with you on these airwaves that he tried to get me to lose my job. That's how much he hates my guts. So we all made an agreement. Upper management, you, I, me, we won't talk about Bobby Valentine ever again. I really wish I wasn't talking about it right now. But when we play him on the show after we banned him, that is Robbie Alomar spitting in an umpire's face. That is me being handcuffed, can do nothing about it back here, a loogie being shot at both of my retinas. There is no place for Bobby Valentine on this show. I would even say Bobby Valentine could be the biggest story of the day. I would do 4 hours ignoring it. That's how little Bobby Valentine belongs on this show. For him to find a cut into soundcheck, I think it's a complete lack of disrespect, maybe us being a little lack of aware. I know this is going to annoy those guys back there because I know they're working hard, but we have to be in this together as a team. We talk about Foxhole guys, Bobby Valentine and soundcheck. Are you kidding me?
Well, number one, I highly doubt Bobby V will ever be the biggest story in sports ever again, so I think we've dodged that bullet.
Okay.
Number two, just so we're all clear on how hard Mraz has worked compared to the rest of the guys, today we have Todd Zalecki coming up on the show next hour.
Good book.
MLB.com. Now, Pete the Body Bilotti.
Yes, sir.
Would you care to defend having Bobby V in soundcheck?
Well, I thought it was a very riveting cut.
Oh, Pete.
That's it?
Pete, that's your defense?
That's the defense?
If Mraz doesn't want to talk about Bobby V, why is he talking about him now?
Oh, don't you play that game, young man. Why am I talking about him now? I'm responding to a lack of Foxhole and ethics by the show. We have a banned list for a reason. And I would argue, by the way, of all the batters and everything we've taken down, all the Reggie Bush Heismans we've wiped off, Bobby Valentine is the one without any flexibility. If Bobby V had gotten his way, Connor Green would be producing the show right now. Now, maybe Damn. That would make for a better show. Maybe everybody would prefer that.
Bobby V's on next.
Stop it. Pete, look, it's a mistake. Whoever put him in there, and it might have been Connor, by the way, who wants my job to put it in there. That being said, it's a mistake. It's an absolute mistake. And now, Kaplan brings up a good point. I should have read the sound checklist at 5:40 and squashed this. So I have to own that. But I don't know how any of you guys are looking at me like I'm nuts right now. This is a mistake. And the fact, DA, that your first response when Bobby V was played was to go on a 2-minute response to the cut instead of just saying, wait a minute, why are we playing Bobby V? To me, I find it to be a little disservice to forget our workmanship, our friendship.
Well, number one, I would never allow Bobby V to be booked on the show. Okay, so I'm not ever going to talk to Bobby V ever again. That will never happen. Bobby Valentine has been struck from my personal relationship or a visit on the show forever. And if I see him at some type of event, I will absolutely not talk to Bobby Valentine. That is my word.
Okay, thank you.
Now, I don't know if playing a clip of his is the same. I'd have to think about that. It kind of didn't strike me that being banned means you couldn't be a clip in soundcheck. I guess I would ask, as executive producer of the DA show, this is a segment on the show that you've been alerted to for the better part of 2 hours. Does this mean that you actually don't read the topic lists or the sound check lists or the production stuff?
It's fair.
Time out. I do send the topic list. I sent all the topic lists.
Then I resend it with the organization of when we're going to talk about things, etc.
Absolutely. And I went through everything. I even spoke to Pete because there was original exemption on the topic list that we discussed. But when it came to soundcheck and this date in mothership history, yes, I did not read soundcheck today. I have no doubt about it. I did not read it. And I did read this date in mothership history, and that's how I knew it was going to be the dog baby thing. So that's on me. I should have clicked it. I don't know why I didn't click it.
Do you usually click it?
For the most part, I'd be lying if I told you I clicked soundcheck single day. I mean, because I'm sitting here, I'm listening to clips anyway.
You're not doing anything over there.
I'm doing a lot.
All right, go through your tasks there as compared to when you were here.
Pete, first of all, okay, we want to play that game? Okay.
Yes.
All right, here we go, guys. You ready to play this game? Because Pete has asked me to play the game.
Let's play the feud.
I send the topic list every night, as I did when we were working in studio. DA organized the topic list. We usually have a pre-show meeting, but it has changed, obviously, because of this. So DA organizes the topic list. I still have sent it. I usually, when I'm in studio, put the cold open together. I obviously cannot do that. In studio, put the epic fail together. I am still doing that back from here. I still do the best of show back from here like I do. And as well as booking the guests and all of that. So really the only thing that I...
Todd Zalecki coming up next hour.
He wrote the Roy Halladay book. We talked about it at the E60. I thought that'd be a nice spot this week. Anyway,
hopefully Todd's not listening right now. Or
I am
not
doing,
next hour.
In essence, every single thing I usually do, with the exception of putting the cold open. The ironic thing is, when we switched to mornings in January, DA, now get this one. The one thing Pete took on extra was putting together soundcheck. What did we just hear? We heard soundcheck. Pete, ask me. I want you to answer. Who put together soundcheck today? Was it you or Connor?
First of all, that did not happen in January. I did not get the responsibility of putting together soundcheck. So
yes,
that's
you
in your little mind.
No, you
second
did.
Second of all, nope, that did not happen. So let's go back and take a look at that.
Just
also,
answer the question, Pete.
You're supposed
who put together
the you're supposed to put together the podcasts. For the hours, and you don't
so
do
you
that.
Dance around the question. See, this that's is, I if I was you right now dancing around the question, I would be assaulted by DA. The difference was we started coming in now an hour before the show instead of 2 hours before the show or an hour and a half because it was tighter time doing the morning, and you said, I'm going to take on soundcheck.
I did not
now that
say we
were
that.
Out of the
what
studio,
are you talking about?
That's what we were doing before the pandemic. You were making soundcheck.
I was not
and now
making
you're
soundcheck.
Not.
And you now gotta, you got to go back into your records, buddy.
You buddied me?
Yeah.
Pete, you do less now without the
sound
check.
Oh, I do less. Okay. All right. I'm not here tomorrow.
That's not what I mean. I mean, you're having Connor do the sound check, and he made a mistake with Bobby V, and you're putting that on me.
I don't see your fat ass coming in here to work in the studio. I don't see you getting up off the chair. You're constantly going to get your Special K and your breakfast. I've had enough of you. All right? So unless you want to come in, don't bother me or Connor.
This feels
Pat,
serious. I mean,
so
anybody
real.
Else want to care to mediate here, or just going to leave us out on an island? I'm acknowledging there was a mistake made by me not reading soundcheck. Hands up, I should have read it. But there is no acknowledgement from back in that studio that they mailed it in by putting Bobby V in without thinking, oh, yeah, he's banned.
Oh, they mailed it in. Okay. All right, let's see Thursday and Friday.
Here we go.
Bogus, take it away.
Thanks, Pete. Your headlines.
That's it? Nobody has a final answer on who's to blame?
Well,
this is all on me?
I wanted to jump in and drop the bomb that it was Connor's fault because Pete delegated, but then you did it for me, and it ended perfectly because now Pete hates you with the fires of a thousand hells. So we all
well,
win.
I mean, is it possible here that Connor did not know that Bobby V was suspended, was banned from the show? And that we've all become really comfortable delegating to Connor because A, he's awesome. B, he never complains. C, he does everything really, really well. And so we've all just kind of assumed Connor's got it. And in the middle of pandemic, over the last 3.5 months, when we're all scattered in a million places, when I send audio in a topic sheet, I know that Mraz isn't editing it. It's usually Connor editing it. And Connor, I'm guessing Pete trusts implicitly, and that Connor does, I mean, every day we ask him to do something, he just crushes it. And
he's
so
awesome at it, yes.
So is it possible that he didn't know that Bobby V was suspended, and so he just put this on there, and then nobody double-checked it? Like, you didn't see the sound check? Pete didn't check it? Because Pete does know that Bobby V is suspended. You knew that, Pete. I know that you know that.
Oh, I know that.
So is it just possible that we put so much on Connor's plate and we trust him implicitly that we all drop the ball here?
No, I saw it, DA. But also, I part of me wants to see what happens on the air with things. And this was something I wanted to see what happened with. And look what happened.
Oh, content.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, so this is a strategic maneuver by
Pete. So you're that annoyed with me in pandemic that you knew it would tick me off, so you did this to me, and you got me all hot and angry.
Well, look
and
what I'm we got, 10 minutes of content.
Oh, now this guy's thinking producing vows
content
now.
Content is king.
By the way, Connor's in our G-chat, still radio silence for me. No answers from the little guy.
But I do think that we've all taken it for granted that Connor just does all this stuff because we're all scattered, and he's been one of the glue guys here.
Of course. He's held a lot of this together. You can,
so maybe
you can
we
tell the difference in days when Connor's here and when Dave Shepard's here. Put it that way.
So
there's a very big difference.
Maybe we shouldn't just take him for granted so much, and maybe we should all be working on our own ends harder to make sure it doesn't always fall into Connor saving the show.
I learned a lesson in the last 20 minutes. It's that don't ever not read soundcheck. That was a very valuable lesson I just learned. So
yeah, and maybe, you know, If you're the executive producer, maybe you go over a bit with a fine-tooth comb, like, does this work? Do we have this audio? Let me double-check to make sure Connor has this. Does he need any help? And maybe on the other end, Pete goes, okay, let me communicate with Mraz. Are we good on this? Do we make sure Connor has this? And maybe I go, hey, are we tight on this? Do we make sure we have this? I mean, maybe we're just assuming Connor's got it because he's always got it, and that's unfair to him.
I agree. I will say there are many days, and Connor will back me up on this, that I either DM him on Twitter. If I see certain audio I think will work for soundcheck, I am always pumping Connor with stuff, as well as every once in a while when I find a stun that I think we should do, I send it over to Bogus as well. So I am constantly, when the show is not on the air, when I see stuff, sending stuff to guys that I know can handle it for the show. So it's not like I sit on my fat ass, as Pete said, and I don't do anything but eat Special K. I am constantly working throughout the day. But my goodness. And Connor, we still see your silence. Script another Trash Tuesday, buddy.
Connor has weighed in via G chat and simply says, I was sabotaged by Bobby V. Andrew Bogus has our headline this morning. Bogues, good morning.
Good morning. Pete tells me to be brief, so here we go. Your report is sponsored by the Rocket Mortgage Classic, changing the course for Detroit. Find out more about how the Rocket Mortgage Classic is connecting the community at rocketmortgageclassic.com. Stop me if you've heard this before. The Patriots in trouble for illegally filming an opponent. This time, it's for a production crew shooting the Bengals sideline during a game in Cleveland back in December. That production crew was filming Do Your Job following a Pats advanced scout ahead of a game with Cincy the following weekend. The crew had permission from the Browns, but the Bengals had no idea. So the team has now been fined $1.1 million and loses its third-round pick in the spring, and senior club officials are getting a refresher course on the league's game day policies. In a shocking turn of events, this news broke as New England was getting bouquets from around the league for signing Cam Newton. It's reportedly a one-year deal worth as much as $7.5 million. Nets forward Wilson Chandler will not play in Disney because he wants to spend more time with his family. Dustin Johnson won the PGA Tour's Travelers Championship, and Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvick finished 1-2 at Pocono yesterday, reversing their finish from Saturday's NASCAR Cup Series race there. For Hamlin, it is career win number 41, number 6 at the track, tying Jeff Gordon for the most. DA, back to you.
Thanks so much, Bogues. When we come back, can the Orlando bubble save the Sixers season? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I'm fat! I am fat!
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Doing more, sponsored by the Home Depot. Everything that you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier. The Home Depot is here to help. They've got many ways to help the Home Depot how doers get more done. How about Dustin Johnson, just days after turning 36, picks up career win number 21, capturing the Travelers Championship. 3-under-67, enough to outlast everybody in the field by a stroke and picking up the W. Beat Kevin Streelman by a stroke to pick up the win at the Travelers. Thanks so much for being with us. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Is it possible that the Orlando bubble is going to be the best thing that could happen to the Philadelphia 76ers? Tobias Harris admitted that before pandemic hit and the shutdown of the season, that the Sixers didn't really like one another. They had chemistry issues, he admitted, which we all kind of admitted, or we all kind of realized before he even admitted this. Their road record was a disaster, and yet their home record was sterling. And so you could just tell that any little adversity like traveling on the road, playing in front of a hostile environment, being out of your comfort zone, was an automatic pitfall for the 76ers, and yet they had all of this talent, and they were a preseason favorite to make the NBA Finals. So going on the road means that you're with each other. You can't scatter to your houses or your suburbs or your mansions. You have to travel with one another, fly with one another, stay in the same hotel, eat breakfast together, etc. And being in the bubble could be the worst thing ever for the 76ers because then they'll always be around one another. And whether it's Embiid's big personality, maybe it's Ben Simmons' stubbornness, maybe it's other things that have factored into how they just don't get along very well. Maybe it's the coach. The 76ers are going to be forced to deal with this because when you're living in the Disney World bubble, you're all going to be in the same hotel for, if you make the NBA Finals, 3 months. Now, maybe the Sixers don't make the NBA Finals. Maybe they're bounced out in the first round. Maybe they make the second round. But the 76ers now cannot avoid each other. The 76ers are going to be forced to deal with one another. And it could totally blow up in their faces because they hate each other. Or maybe this is exactly what they need to actually save their season. To be forced to be around one another and know there is no scattering to go home after this road trip. We've got to deal with each other. Could be coming up. When we come up, the return of baseball and the powerful documentary on Doc Holliday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.